In the olden days, we used to make the youth minister preach this sermon, and so I got the day off. We've had in front of you two of the teachers who teach the teenagers the most, Bryce leading songs and Thomas doing Sunday morning. I believe Thomas Beard has taught Sunday morning Bible class. Oh, he's not there. He's back. He's being a deacon now. Thomas has taught Sunday morning class for at least 10 or 12 years. No telling how many thousands of dollars that man has spent on donuts for our kids. And they all love him. And they all love Bryce and Emily on Wednesdays, and Brandon Cometti often helps them on Wednesdays. We do youth ministry a little differently here. And so it's my privilege to get to watch our youth get taught, I think, rather well by these families that all do other stuff outside of church work. And so thank you for all of those who help. Not only that, but our closing prayer will be led by Mark Williams. And for those who don't know, we don't run it. Mark's wife, Laura, runs a homeschool co-op that uses our building 3 days a week that has become an important part of the life of this church. And Mark helps out, is planning on helping out more with our teenagers in the future. And so Mark will be doing our final prayer of the morning. And so all of these represent families that are instrumental in the lives of our children. This group is interesting. This is the first group in probably 10 years that I have not held at least one of them as a baby. All five of them came to us a little bit older. Some of them came to us when they got to high school. And so this is a great group of young people. When you go read some of their stuff in the little brochure that was part of the bulletin, this is a great group of kids, and they are smart. And they're going to do some impressive things in the world. And so I can't wait to see what the future holds for these young people. Okay, this is a hard sermon to write because I need to write a sermon to them, but I need to write a sermon to you, and I need to write a sermon to all of us. And so that's what I've tried to do. These young people are celebrating a milestone in a few days with graduation, but you and I, we're still, most of us have already graduated. Some of us don't even remember graduation. So I want it to be a reminder for you, because God is always calling us forward. Whether he's calling us forward as a senior in high school to go the next step of our lives, or whether he's calling us forward as a 55-year-old guy who's the preacher at your church, God is always calling us forward. So here's what I think that means. That first, God has a purpose for every season. And it doesn't matter if you're 18, about to graduate from high school, or 17, or even 16, as one of our kids is, that God has a purpose and God has a plan. Usually we read this verse at funerals, and I wish we'd stop reading this verse at funerals, but Ecclesiastes chapter 3 reads like this. It says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. There's a time for everything. So I want to say to all of us that no matter what our age is, God still has a plan for us. Okay, I love that song that Bryce just led. He's our firm foundation. Bryce, we're getting better at it every time, so keep leading it. God's plan isn't random. God's plan is intentional. And we've got the choice of whether we want to jump in on that plan that God has for us, but God's got a plan. And God has got something within his plan of how he would like us to live and how he would like us to serve. And I'm not saying there's just one door that God wants you to walk through. I think there are probably multiple doors that God can bless and use for you in your life, whether you're 18 going on to college or whether you're our age doing what God has called us to do. Is God's plan isn't random. I love what Proverbs 19 says. Solomon, you're going to hear a lot of him this morning. Solomon says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. I hope we realize that. No matter our age, no matter our place in life, no matter if we are retired and looking forward to rocking in a recliner, or if we're 12 years old and we're too old to go to children's worship and we're in this room, God's got a plan. And my plan may be one way, but his plan is always so much better. And so God has got a purpose for all of us. The second thing is I want you and then us to find our identity rooted in Christ. Okay, I love that Bryce used the illustration of a dandelion because I've been trying to kill all the dandelions in my yard, and I'm pretty sure when I drive by Emily's house on the way, or Bryce and Emily's house on the way to lunch, there better be some dandelions. You better have left them. They're rooted. They're down in there pretty good. That's what I want us to be. Not only do I want this for our children, and if you've heard me more than once, you know how much our kids matter to me. Whether it's the smallest of them to the biggest of them, is that our children matter immensely, and part of our calling as the church in this place is to help root them in Christ. To join with parents, to join with extended family, to join with teachers and say, here are the things that matter the most. And one of those things that matters the most is Jesus. And so I hope we find a foundation there. Paul said in Colossians chapter 2 these words, so then just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. I don't know if I'd want to be a teenager in this day and age, but even trying to remember what it was like being a teenager 35 years ago, I know the world tried to define, and the world still does that. The world tries to define by your status in your high school. The world may try to define by the grades that you might have. The world may try to define by what neighborhood you live in, or sometimes, unfortunately, what color your skin might be. But I want us to find our identity somewhere totally different. Because our identity has nothing to do with our neighborhood. It has nothing to do with the color of our skin. It has nothing to do even with our grades, although you should always do your best. Our identity is first and foremost found in Christ. And hopefully when they start from the nursery, when Charlotte English is down there in that little table singing songs to them, up until they're getting to Thomas and Bryce, I hope we're always teaching about being rooted in Christ, because we are children of God. And being children of God matters. Because children matter. And if children matter to God and he calls us his children, then we ought to find some great comfort in that. Peter would say this in 1 Peter chapter 2. He would say, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Let me just pause there for a second. Think of those four words. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. And so again, whether it's the five seniors that we're honoring or whether it's the 250 of us that are gathered in this room, that is who we are. When we are in Christ, this is who we are. We are chosen, we are royal, we are holy, and we are God's special possession. And within that is so much power. And within that, I think, is so much comfort that as we walk this life, to know that our identity may be connected by the world in 100 different ways, but it's connected by God in that way. We are his. So Paul would say at the end of Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 10, he would say, for we are God's workmanship, or handiwork, another translation says, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It's almost like Paul is saying, and again, you know, you've heard me say that that's, when I get to my last sermon, you're going to hear Ephesians chapter 2. You know, you get to 2, verse 7, and it's by grace you've been saved through faith. And you get to verse 10, and it's we don't just now sit on our hands and say, thank God for grace. We realize that we were created to serve, that we are his handiwork, that we are this living proof of what he has made, and we are his. The third thing I would call us to is to learn to walk by faith and not by sight. Okay, I'm going to confess, this is easier said than done. It's pretty easy for me to know that God's got a purpose for my life. It's pretty easy for me to read scripture and find out that my identity is found in Jesus, but then to walk by faith, to take the next step forward. Paul would say in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, these words, he would say, for we live by faith and not by sight. See, he's writing to Christians, comparing them to the world, and he's saying, here's what the world does. The world walks by what they can see. The world can see this going on, and they can see this going on, and they can see this happening. And so they walk by what they can see. We walk by the things we can't see sometimes. And faith is a big deal. Okay, Bryce mentioned his Bible that someone wrote in. Someone wrote in my Bible that I got as a senior, that is the old King James Version, because that's how old I am, said this: faith means stepping forward even without perfect clarity. Okay, just like Bryce thinks of that passage that drew him to Psalm 46, I think of that passage. Faith means stepping forward even without perfect clarity, even without knowing what is next. None of our kids know what's next. Most of our kids are going to college. One is taking a gap year to get ready to go to a specialized school and to find that right school. But all of our kids are kind of pursuing some pretty amazing things. And they don't know what December holds. And so they've got to walk. They've got to take a step forward in faith. Again, Solomon writes this in Proverbs 3 when he's writing some memos to his son. He says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit," or maybe a better way to translate that is acknowledge. "In all your ways submit to him and he will make your path straight." See, that's what I want for my children. That's what I want for the children of this church. That's what I want for all of us, is to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and to take the next step. The writer of Hebrews is going to give what we've often called the Hall of Fame chapter of faith. He's gonna list a whole bunch of Old Testament fellas and ladies too, to say here is their walk. And he's gonna begin that chapter with these words. He's gonna say, "Now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see." See, faith is taking that step out even though I don't know what that step may look like. You don't need to see the whole path. Just take the next faithful step. It doesn't matter if you're 17 or 18. It doesn't matter if you're 10, 11, or 12. And it doesn't matter if you're 95. You may not see the whole path, but just take the next faithful step. There have been numerous times in my life where I didn't know what was on the horizon. And all I could do was say, "God, I'm going to trust in you. And I'm going to take that next faithful step." I think that matters for all of us. Because all of us are walking through a plan that God has called us to. And all of us are marching through a life, hopefully with our eyes focused on him. And he just wants us to keep on walking. And to keep on taking the next step. Even if we don't know where it's going to go. Okay, the fourth thing that I think matters immensely is stay connected to God and to God's people. All the statistics say we lose our children when they go to college. We lose a large percentage of them when they go to college. It's a little bit easier not to go to church when mom's not banging on the door saying, "Get up." It's a little bit harder to discipline yourself to spend some time in prayer when dad's not calling you to the dinner table and saying, "Let's pray over the food before we eat it." It's a little more difficult to kind of keep God a priority when you got 1,000 other things going on around you. And I want to call you to be a little different than that. John chapter 15, in this vine and the branches thing, he's going to say, "I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing." I want you to stay attached. Stay connected. The beauty of where all of these kids are going is there are good churches in all of these places. And I hope you'll attach yourself to them. I hope in the midst of a busy schedule that is academics and practice and 1,000 other things that'll be going on and a social calendar, we've got someone going to the East Coast. Man, they're going to a place that's so different than Roswell, and eyes are going to be, "Woohoo, this is great," aren't they? So there's going to be a lot to do and a lot to see. Don't lose sight of God and his people. Psalms 1 reads like this. It's the reason I think it's the very first psalm. "Blessed is the one who does not walk in the steps with the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the company of the mockers. But blessed is the one who delights in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night." I remember someone telling my son these three things: stay in the word, stay in prayer, and stay in community. That's for all of us. Stay in the Word, stay in prayer, stay in community. I had lunch with a youth minister a couple weeks ago. And he's teary. And he's backtracking. He's thinking Senior Sunday like we're thinking Senior Sunday. But he's backtracking the last 5 years. And he's saying, at the last 5 years, we had 23 kids that we sent out of our program. And 3 kids are still going to church. And they're all drifting. And he no longer was there to mentor and to guide and to instruct and to point and to help walk. But it broke his heart that there was so much drifting going on. Okay, the good news is if you've got kids that are drifting, one of the things that statistics are showing now is they may drift a little bit during college, but a lot of them are coming back when they hit about 30 and they start having their own kids. We've seen that in the life of our church here. But I don't want you to drift. As much as I love when we get a rescue and we get the prodigal son back in the father's arms, I'd love for you to stay there. So keep track of what God wants you to keep track of. Stay in community. And then the last thing, be a light wherever you go. Jesus would say this in the Sermon on the Mount. He would say, you are the light of the world. Now he's talking to a pretty broad audience, but so am I. And the audience that I'm talking to is probably a lot like the audience Jesus was talking to. It was full of men and women and parents and grandparents and kids and teenagers and college students and probably some people who had been prodigals. And he's saying, you are the light of the world. Just hear what he says on the rest of that great paragraph. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Okay, a couple of these kids grew up in church where they sang a little song called This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine. We're not gonna sing it. They're singing it down there, but we're not gonna sing it in here. But I want you to take the words of that kid's song and live them. And again, it's not just to the 5. It's to all of us. Wherever you go, be a light. In the midst of your college, be a light. In the midst of a fraternity or a sorority, be a light. In the midst of your job, teaching, be a light. In the midst of what you do, whether you're 90 or whether you're 55 or whether you're just entering the job market, be a light in all of those places. Because the world needs it. Not sure if you've realized this, but the world's a little dark right now. And it's not because there's not a sun, but the world's dark because there are some hard times on us. Now, as much as any other time, we need God's people to be a light. And so let me give you one last verse. Okay, and my favorite Old Testament verse that doesn't find itself in the Psalms reads like this. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Okay, let's stop right there. This is the call that is going to Joshua. Joshua is inheriting the nation of Israel as he is their new leader replacing Moses. So think of what is on his shoulders. This is more burden than being a freshman in college. This is more burden than starting a new job. This is more burden than being the principal at a school. This is more burden than I think most of us could physically or even mentally imagine. And so God says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Okay, I want to say that to 5, and I want to say that to 250. Be strong, be courageous, do not be afraid. And let's go. Let's take the next step boldly into what God has laid in front of us. This hasn't been a lesson on first principles. We haven't talked about salvation and how you find God. We'll do that again here really quick. But if you need to know more about that, you can find me or the elders that are all through this room or someone next to you. We're going to sing an invitation song, so if you need something, come and find me or find one of the elders. But then we're going to come back up with some Bibles and call our five young people forward. So let's stand and let's sing the song that Bryce has chosen.
Oh Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, teach your children to stop the fighting, start uniting all as one. Let's get together, loving forever, sanctuary for you. It was you, Lord, who sent the Savior, heart and soul, Lord, for every man. And it is you, Lord, who knows my weakness. You refine me with your own hand.
Okay, you can be seated.